Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though its mountains quake at its swelling pride. And then I have a little one-word notation. The word Selah. We don't usually read that because it is a musical notation. Remember, this is the ancient hymnal of Israel. And the word Selah is a musical notation that says, pause. Pause. Think about what I just said. Let it sink in. Verse 4. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations made an uproar. The kingdoms tottered. He raised his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. There it is again. Selah. Pause. Let that sink in. Come and behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. Cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. There it is again. Pause. Stop. Let that sink in. I wonder sometimes about the way that I live. Because I get too busy sometimes. You go here and you go there and you do this and you commit to that and you say yes to this and you get your to-do list and you start adding to it, and every day you seem to check off one or two things. And lo and behold, there's four or five things added on at the end. It's like you get all of these expectations, and you not just commit, you overcommit to things sometimes. And as a result, we meet ourselves coming and going, and we wear ourselves out in the process. And maybe what we need to do is think about what the psalmist is telling us when he says, cease striving and know that I am God. Selah. Pause. Rest. Think about that. Let that sink in. You understand, ladies and gentlemen, and the lesson that I want to share with you for just a few minutes is pretty simple. And it hinges on this one thought, that you can have a full life that leaves your heart completely empty because somewhere along the line you missed hearing what God really wants your heart to know. So that's what I want to share with you this morning. What God really wants your heart to know. And I wrote down four things that I want to share with you. Four things that I believe God wants your heart to know. Because life isn't just about being busy. Life is about tuning in to what He says and listening and living as He wants us to live. So if you're making notes this morning, just write 1, 2, 3, 4. I want to share four things with you. What God really wants your heart to know. Number one, this is what I wrote down. I wrote down, you really were made for more than this. I think that's what God wants all of us to know. That you really were made for more than this. You know, all of us have good intentions every day. And then the phone rings. And then our kid throws his spaghetti on the floor. Or the new puppy that everybody adores just ate your new shoes. Or 101 other things.
And sometimes we look at our lives on a daily basis and we think, what in the world just happened? And the trouble isn't that at times we feel overwhelmed, because we do. The trouble is that we expect everything to go as planned, our plans, and we expect everything to be perfect here. And ladies and gentlemen, it's never going to be perfect here. And so we get disappointed that the promises of the there and then are not happening in the here and the now. And so I try to tweak some things. I try to tweak my circumstances because I try to make some things better. You can do some of that. And so we alter over here, we change over there. But the ache of life discontent never quite goes away. And it never will. This side of heaven that we just sang about. And so I think about that musical notation in Psalm 46 and scattered throughout the Psalms. That maybe what I need to do sometimes is do exactly what that musical notation means. I need to sila. I need to stop. I need to pause. I need to rethink some things. I need to look again at my priorities. Because I really was made for more than this. But not in the way that we tend to think. You were made for more of this because you were made for more of Christ. You were made for more of the person He created you to be. You were made for more of His purpose. You were made for more of His love. You were made for more of His grace. And you were made to shine all of that into the lives of the people God puts in your path. And when you and I pursue Him like that, when we pursue Him with all of our heart, this ache of life discontent won't ever go away. But it can get less and less. Because you see, none of us are home yet. But we're getting there. We're on our way. And whatever God places in our present, we need to shine for His glory. Because I was made for more of this. I was made for more of His Son. And He wants me to become more and more like Him. All right, that's the first thing I wrote down. You really were made for more than this because you were made for more of Him. Secondly, you really were made for right here and right now. You ever thought about, out of all of history, centuries and centuries and centuries of history, God has chosen this time for you? Somebody asked me one time, why? Why has God chosen this time? Why am I living now? Why? Well, I have no idea. You don't either. But I know this in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 11. It says plainly, He has made everything appropriate in its time. And apparently, this time is appropriate for you. Now, here's the deal. You only get one time. And we only get one you. There never has been, and there never will be another you. God does not have a replacement policy. That's why it is important to be you. To embrace the person that God made you to be. We don't need a copy of somebody else. We need the original. We need you. Now, here's where I'm going with that. We need you to live fully in this moment that God has placed you, that God has given to you. Remember when Moses stood before the burning bush and he was coming up with all of those excuses why he was not the one to go down into Egypt? And God finally said after Moses said, well, who shall I say sent me? God said, you say, I am that I am. Exodus 3 and verse 14. And when God said, I am that I am, that's in the present tense. the present tense. Well, let me ask you this question. Was God in the past? Yes. Will God be in the future? Yes. God didn't say, I was. God didn't say, I will be. Because when He said, I am who I am, He is always in the present tense, at whatever present that is. Now, here's what's most important about that. God is in the present now with you because that's where you are. In other words, God is with you here and now. And that to me just makes the Bible come alive. In Hebrews 13 and verse 5, He says, I will never desert you. I will never leave you. When? Here and now. Psalm 23 and verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadows of death, I fear no evil. Why not? For Thou art with me. When? Here and now. Philippians 4 and verse 13, in the verse read to you moments ago, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When? Here and now. You live in this moment. You live in the world of here and now. So does God. And God will give you the strength. God will give you the strength to not only survive your here and now and get through whatever you face in the here and now. He will not only help you survive your here and now, He will enable you to thrive in your here and now and to shine His light into the hearts of others. Jesus said, let your light shine that they may see your good works and come to glorify your Father who is in heaven. So here's what we need you to do. We need you to be you today. Not tomorrow, and not next week, and not next month, and not next year. I say that because we have a temptation to see ourselves as available to be used by God at some later time after I, and you can fill in whatever blank you want to fill in. After I get through this, after I do that, when this happens, when that happens, when I get past that, then suddenly I see myself as being available to Him. Well, life doesn't work like that. In the meantime, life happens all around us every single day. And every single day, God gives us opportunities, and every single day, God puts people in our path that we can help and encourage and strengthen. And if we keep putting off life and putting off life and putting off life, we miss the essence of what life is all about. And life is all about living in the moment that God gives you. Your life circumstances are never going to be everything you want them to be. And if that's what you're waiting for, you're going to wait for the rest of your life because it's not going to happen. You know, I think of Paul when he wrote the letter to the church in Philippi. Do you know where he was? And by the way, the theme of the Philippian letter is joy. It's all about joy. Rejoice in the Lord again. He says, I say rejoice. It's scattered throughout that little letter. And where was he when he wrote that? In jail. You ever been to jail? I guess that's a dumb question. You ever go visit somebody in jail? That's a better question. Not a fun place. I go see a friend in prison in Indiana. Maximum security. You got to go through all this stuff to get in there. And I tell you what, after you've had about four or five doors closed behind you and locked, it just gives you a real funny feeling. And here was a man, Paul, who's in jail, and his crime was his faith. His crime was preaching about Christ. And he's in jail, and he writes a letter to this church, which would be just like the church here. And he says, listen, you got to rejoice in whatever circumstances you are in, presently in the here and the now. He says, you need to learn how to rejoice even in them. So if you're waiting for life to happen after this happens or that, you're wasting your moments. And what I'm saying to you is, embrace the moment. Embrace the now. Be who you are today. Reflect God in the here and the now, because that's where He is. So what have we said? We've said, you really were made for more than this, because you were made for Him. And you really were made for right here and right now. And God expects us, regardless of our circumstances, God expects us to shine in the moment that He gives us. Because that's where He is. And that's where He wants you to be. Third, you really do have enough to offer. You really do have enough to offer. You ever wake up in the morning and think of all the things I got to do today? And sometimes it's just overwhelming. And you think to yourself, I can't possibly get all this done. And sometimes we can feel very small in a world that is very big. But there's a Jesus principle that I have to work to remember, and it's a Jesus principle you need to remember. And it's the Jesus principle that says, what you must do is offer me what you have and let me make up the difference. We don't have time this morning to go back and read in the 6th chapter of Mark, beginning in verse 34 and reading down through about verse 44. Jesus feeds the 5,000. And by the way, it's a miracle that all four of the writers talk about, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Significant miracle as Jesus feeds thousands and thousands of people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. The disciples looked at all of these people and they said, Lord, you need to send these people down to the restaurant. You need to send these people away. Let them go get something to eat. Or if you don't send them away, you're going to have to feed all these people. And Jesus turned to those men and said, no, you feed the people. You feed the people. And they said, well, how are we supposed to feed the people? We're supposed to go out and buy bread for all of these people? We don't have enough money for that. Thousands of people. And Jesus said, how much food do you have? Somebody said, well, there's a kid here. He's got some loaves and some fish. He said, have everybody sit down on the grass. Have everybody sit down on the grass. And Jesus said, bring me what you have. Remember how many basketfuls of leftovers they had? You see, the Jesus principle is pretty simple. In the hands of the Lord, your little can mean a lot. It's like He takes us by the hand and says, child, you don't have to do everything. You don't have to be everything. Why don't you give me, why don't you offer me what you have? And let me take care of the rest. Because as I read that miracle, I come to understand that Jesus is not just the supplier. He's the multiplier. He is the multiplier. And it's not about what we have to offer as if we can offer Him any great thing. It's about whose hands I'm willing to place it in. Jesus said, give me what you have, I'll take care of the rest. Now, our problem is, if we've only got 5 loaves to give Jesus, our problem is we think, well, I've got to bake these loaves and they have to be perfect. I've got to bake these loaves and they've got to be golden, and they've got to be gorgeous. Because if I'm going to give 5 loaves to Jesus, it just has to be perfect. Or we bake the loaves and we say, well, that's still not perfect enough. Maybe if I draw the Mona Lisa in frosting on the top of the loaves, maybe that'll be really nice. And so that's what we offer to Him. And He looks at us and He says, Martha, Martha, what are you doing? You don't have to do all of that. Why don't you give me what you have and let me take care of the rest? You talk about a lesson that I have to learn. I'm guessing I'm not the only one who needs to learn that lesson. You know, You know, when the lady broke the vial of perfume and anointed the feet of Jesus, Jesus complimented her because, he said, she has done what she could. And that's all he asks of you, and to do what you can. And last, what does the Lord really want from me? The Lord wants my heart to understand that I really can live different than everybody else. I really can. Now, sometimes we struggle with that because the loudest voice of doubt is the one that usually lives in our heads. It's the voice of doubt that we keep telling ourselves that said, I can't do this. Or if I do this, I'm just setting myself up for failure. Or that situation will never change. Or there's just no way. I think of Numbers chapter 13 when the spies went out to spy the land. And they came back and they met with everybody and they showed them all of the fruit of the land, and you can just hear the echoes of the oohs and the ahs as they've never seen fruit this size or this beautiful. And they talk about this land is, it does flow with milk and honey, and it's absolutely a gorgeous place. And then there was one word that changed everything. They said, nevertheless, the cities are large, and the walls are fortified. And the descendants of Anak are there, the giants. And they said, we are like grasshoppers in their sight. And their conclusion was, we can't pay the land. And it all hinged on one word in Numbers 13. When they said, nevertheless, it's no use. Nevertheless. And if we're not careful, ladies and gentlemen, we can do the same thing. Here's a marriage that is struggling. And the couple begins to think of all of the positive things that they have experienced. And yet then one of them says, nevertheless, it's no use. Or maybe it's finances. Maybe if we were able to do this a little bit different or do that a little bit different, but nevertheless, it won't work. Or maybe it's our children. We love them to death, but at the same time, we get overwhelmed. And somebody sighs and says, nevertheless. And we feel like a failure. All of us face situations in life that to us are insurmountable and difficult. And like the walls of Jericho, they are unoverable. So maybe what we need is a new word. Instead of the sigh of the insurmountable, nevertheless, translated, it's no use. Maybe we need to breathe a new, fresh air of faith and take out nevertheless and replace it with even so, confidence in God. I think of Paul's statement in 2 Timothy 4, verse 16 and 17, when he talks about everybody that deserted him. But he made the statement that even so, God stood with me. You know, Satan would love nothing more than to discourage you to the point that you quit. To convince you that you can't do it. To convince you that you can't win, that there's not enough time, or that there's not enough money, or there's just no way. Because he wants you to just get discouraged and quit. And our message back to him is, even so, our God will provide. Listen, God knows what you're going through. I may not, but he does. And he knows it's hard. Faith doesn't deny reality. But he also knows your heart. And our God will give your heart a home. And that home is not a place. That home is a person. The person who says, I will never desert you. I will never leave you. I will never let you go. Because you really were made for more than this. And you really were made for right here and right now. And you really do have enough to offer. And you really can live different than everybody else. You really can do all of this. Remember that passage in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, where it talks about that he has given to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. He has given it to us. And I want you to think about that verse. And I want you to think about this lesson the next time you're sitting in a restaurant. And at the end of the meal, the server comes by your table and says these words, "May I get you anything else?" And you smile and say, "No, we have all we need." Ladies and gentlemen, it's true. In Jesus Christ, we have all we need. Amen? May God help us to remember that. And may God help us to live like that. We sing the song of invitation this morning. If you're not a Christian, if you've never given Christ your life, why don't you do that this morning? You can be baptized for the remission of your sins. Or there's people here who will sit down with you and they'll study the Bible with you and they'll help you understand God's plan for you. Or if you've walked away and you're not living faithful, not living right, then maybe you need to see love. Maybe you need to pause and think about your life and your condition and where it is. But if we can help you in any way, whether you need to be baptized to become a child of God or whether you need to repent and come home like the prodigal, whatever we can do to encourage you, we want to do it today, right now, while we stand and sing together.